And we are on 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. We go through scripture by scripture. And last time we saw how the Christian is not condemned. We saw that word condemnation. But God is greater than our condemnation. We saw that. And so He is greater than our heart because God sees everything. And He knows everything. And today we are going to continue in verse 22 that how we have this confidence. If we are not condemned, then we have confidence in God. So the topic that I will give today is our confidence in approaching God. 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to go through just one verse. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And here, we are not condemned because we have confidence in God. The Christians are not condemned. Condemnation has to do with what? The punished. If there is somebody who is condemned, that is for the unbeliever. Condemnation will bring punishment. Punishment will bring death. But for the Christian, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says that we are not under condemnation. Okay? So if we are not under condemnation, there is not going to be a punishment for us. The wrath of God is not going to come upon us. Because the wrath of God already, Jesus took on our behalf the wrath of God on the cross. So His righteousness is imputed to us, charged to us. Now we can come to a holy God through the righteousness of Christ. So, now we have confidence in God. So if we are not condemned, we have no punishment, then we have eternal life. That's the great confidence we have in God. We have hope in Him. Then this confidence in God is connected to prayer, really. Because it says here, whatever we ask, that has to do with prayer. Right? So whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, that had to do with prayer because we keep His commandments. We have confidence in approaching God in prayer. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Now this confidence, as we know, is not a confidence that is in us. But the confidence is in Him. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, He is the mediator before the Holy God. There's only one mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus. No other mediators. Amen. Only one mediator. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So there's only one mediator. The confidence is because we have this confidence, the confidence is based on this mediator. Because he's a great mediator. Now when we talk about the mediator, we need to remember that before we knew God, we were enemies of God. God is infinitely holy and we are unholy. And we were enmity with God. Okay, there is no peace between God and us. There's no peace. We do just the opposite thing. Our flesh is in control. And we don't go according to the commandments of God. We violate the word of God in thought, in deeds, and in mouth, and everything what we do, we violate the word of God. So there is no, absolutely no peace. But it is not us that choose God, but God chose us. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. When salvation is of the Lord, when we are born again, regenerated, what happens is suddenly our eyes are open for for the spiritual things. Amen. The first thing we realize is, I have sinned against God. And we repent. So, born again or regeneration bring repentance. And we repent, we see what we have done. And here, then we have access to God because of what Christ has done on the cross. Amen. Okay? He is the mediator. Because in His name we pray. And in His name we are writers. Not in our own name. Now Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Reading from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is Christ, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:14, now verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here we are again. We can come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence in approaching God. Now remember, the throne of God was so dreadful to us before, right? It was not the place where we love to go, to the throne of God. It was a dreadful place for us. We didn't like to go there, to the throne of God. But after regeneration, things become different. This dreadful throne of glory is converted to a throne of grace. The law came through Moses, but the grace and truth came from Christ. Now, also we know that we can come boldly with confidence in approaching God because of Christ's mediatorship, and also Christ is our advocate. He is our advocate. Mediator's job was he reconciled us back to God. Okay? Now we can cry to God by saying, Abba, Father. And as being our advocate, okay, He is praying on our behalf. He's praying for us. He is our lawyer who is defending us. Satan is always accusing us. But when we come and repent, confess our prayers, cry in Christ's blood, Christ is He is defending us. He is our advocate. Now, also we need to remember that we cannot do nothing. Whatever we ask, we had to ask in Jesus' name. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him. So we need to ask in Jesus' name. He is our mediator. If He is our mediator, then we had to ask in His name. If He is our advocate, I'm not representing myself. He is the one who is representing me before God. So we had to go by His name because He is the lawyer here. You understand? So that's why John chapter 14 verse 13, Jesus said, "Ever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now here, it is in Jesus' name, not in the name of Mary, not in the name of the saints, not in the name of Pope, or not in the name of Allah or Buddha or whoever. It's in the name of Jesus. And verse 15, if you love me, you keep my commandments. It goes with that. So, also John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and it will ask, you will receive, that your joy may be fulfilled. Father, He sent Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save those who were lost. And He revealed the will of the Father to us through His Word. Alright? So important that Jesus, in His name, when you say in His name, He's anointed one. Alright? He is the God who came in flesh. He fulfilled the law. The law was a curse for us. He fulfilled the law. Christ appeared. Christ appeared on this earth. When he went to the cross, when he was suffered on the cross, he appeased the Father's anger. You know, appeasing means the Father was angry with the sinner. But Christ was able to appease that. He calmed the anger of God. And Christ, He's living because He rose from the dead. And all the promises of God is found in Christ. That's why we have to come in His name. Because all the promises of God is found in Christ. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him. Amen. Wow. What else do you need? To the glory of God through us. Now He who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. So we find everything in Christ. And verse 22 says that who has sealed us and given us a spirit in our heart as a guarantee. You know, the enemy loves to come and accuse us, the Christians, the believers, and sometimes comes to condemn us, but we have a great advocate who comes on our behalf. Well, actually, 1 John chapter 2, we went through a whole topical sermon on this one before. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, that means, of course, we always, as Christians, we are not perfect. Alright? We do sin. When we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous one. Wow. Now, we studied before the conscience. We went through a study on conscience. An evil conscience is inconsistent having confidence in God. Nobody can pray to God, only those who have a clear conscience, a person who has a pure heart, have that confidence in God. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 24, verse 3, ascend into the hill of the Lord. Who may stand in His holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? We are confident because God is the one who gave that pure heart. God is the one who gave that new heart to us.
Amen.
Nothing in us. He is the one who keeps on sanctifying us daily. How does God sanctify us? Through His Word. Through the Word. Word sanctifies us daily. That's why you need to get into the Word. It's so important. And He has made us holy. And when He has made you holy, we are holy. If you turn with me to Psalm 86 verse 2. David is crying out and he's saying here, preserve my life, I am holy. You are my God, save your servant who trusts in you. So here, David is not saying that he is holy in his own self. Of course he's not. David is not talking of his own righteousness here, no, but of the righteousness of God. He is the one who had imputed that holiness, the righteousness to him. And when you are regenerated, born again, you are a different person. The word holy in Greek, it means hagios. It means you are separated to serve God.
Amen.
And Psalm chapter 34, verse 17. Just Psalm 34, 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Here we can approach God in confidence and He will hear our prayers. The righteous, they will cry out and God will deliver us. Now, this confidence in prayer is not based on our will, but it's based on God's will again.
Amen.
Okay? That's so important to remember, because it is based on God's will. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 is the confidence that we have in Him. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, anything could be anything. Anything could be a mansion. Will God give it to you? It says here, according to His will, He hears us. God knows. He's not going to give us something that we will go astray from Him. You understand? It has to be His will. So it's so important that He will hear us according to His will. Remember, at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." So important when we pray, we need to pray not our will, because our will is usually, our will is we want to please this flesh a lot. Amen. We want to ask God, "I need this, I need that." We are going through our emotions, our flesh, and we look things when it happens, and we see these things and we get scared and we ask for these things in God. But God, that we need to trust in Him and ask God, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." That's the most important thing, is your spiritual life, not the physical things that you see. The spiritual life, that's the most important, the will of God. Now, is God going to hear the unbelievers when they pray?
No.
No, absolutely not. He's not going to hear the hypocrites. He's not going to hear the unbelievers. Now, this is according to you, His will. But how come a lot of people, they pray, they are not even believers? We know that they are living in an extremely non-Christian lifestyle. Maybe they have a cross or whatever, a statue. But you see, they have so much, you know, material things and wealth and money and so forth like that. And they say, "God is blessing me." And you need to understand, if Satan, can you remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert and Satan said, "If you only worship me, I'll give you all these things." So just because material things that you have, the most important thing is not the material things. Don't look for the things that perish. The most important thing is your spiritual life. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So a lot of times we look for material things. You know, the Christianity has been trampled down today. The doctrine is it's an adulterated doctrine, and people are preaching false gospels, false doctrines. We should not go that way. People are using the Bible to make money. So we need to see our spiritual life. That's the most important. And here, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12, the word of God says, when you come, this is talking about the hypocrites here, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices, incense as an abomination to me, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Here you see the hypocrites. Hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? They have two faces. They look very religious. They carry the word of God. But in church, they look very religious. But when they go home, they are living just like an unbeliever. They are living in sin. But if you ask them, they will say they are a Christian. But this is a hypocrite. And God says, "I'm not going to answer your prayers. You're evildoers." You need to wash yourself clean and repent of your sins and come to God. And God is not going to hear the unbelievers either. Amen. If you turn with me to John chapter 9 verse 31. Man who was blind was a sinner, healed by Jesus Christ. And this is what he said to the Jewish leaders in John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his what? Will, he hears him. God is not going to hear the sinners. Amen. That's what the word says. So, the hypocrites, their prayers are an abomination to God. The door is closed against the hypocrites. They should not think that their prayers, they come like in confidence to God, but God is not going to hear them. And James chapter 4 verse 3 says, if you turn with me to James 4:3, yes, and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on what? On your lusts, on your pleasures. That's why you don't get it. Because you're evil. God is not going to give it to you. And when we come in confidence in prayer, you know, we cannot come with an evil conscience to asking God for our own pleasure. That's an evil conscience. God is not going to hear that. We have confidence in prayer because of God's goodness and of His mercy. Another thing why we have confidence in approaching God is because of His goodness and because of His mercy. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 5 verse 7. Psalm 5:7. But as for me, I come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. Wow. In fear of you, I will worship towards the holy temple. Now, under the goodness of God, we will understand what faith is. Amen. It's under the goodness of God that we understand what is faith. At the same time, we give reverence to His holy name. This confidence is really the faith that we have in God. What is the confidence in approaching God? It's the faith of God, right? It's the faith. Now, when you have this faith, then you can free your mind with all anxiety. And it soothes our mind with sweet, perfect rest. The rest is this rest that God gives, this confidence that is in faith, that God gives us above all nervousness. It's about getting into the flesh. That's not faith. We walk by faith, not by, you know, what we see. So this faith is nothing. It's above your emotional control. This is what this confidence, prayer, faith, confidence, it all goes together. Amen. The true saint of God, they will go through heavy trials, heavy duty trials. You will be tormented with fear. But when we trust in God, we take comfort in Him. Remember, in the storm, there was a storm and Jesus was fast asleep. And the disciples, they were going crazy. Didn't know what to do. They were going according to their flesh because they see, they go by sight. So the Bible says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith in Christ Jesus. And they were going by sight. They see these things and they go, So we should not walk by sight. We need to trust in Him. And Jesus was calm. That's what faith does. And Mark chapter 11 verse 24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So when we come in confidence in our prayers to God, we should not come to God with doubting and hesitating. Okay, that was Mark chapter 11:24. So we should not come to God in doubting and hesitating. That means soon after we pray, we go back again and worry, right? How many times you pray to God, all right, do this, and after that you go back again, take all your problems again. What kind of prayer is that? That's not having confidence, that you're going back to your flesh again. And James chapter 1 verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So we cannot receive anything without faith. But how does faith come? That's a good question. How? I need this faith in my prayer life, right? We cannot pray without faith, right? But how can I have this faith so I will not get into emotions? I will not go according to my feelings. I need this faith. So how does faith come? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. How then, Romans 10 starting from 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how they can hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So that's why many of you are walking in your emotions. You're asking why this is happening, and you're going all over, you know, bouncing around the walls and doing, what's going on? And you know, you say, I trust in God, I believe in God, but you never read the Bible. How can you have faith if you're not getting into the word of God? That's the very basic thing here. The most basic is, this is the word of God. You need to get into the word of God. That means, as I told you last week, this is not like another word. This is not another book. This book separates from every other book, because this book is from heaven. That's what it separates. And how do you read the word of God? Do you read the word of God to say, oh, well, this is good for this one, this is good for that one, and that is good for this one? You know, you read the word of God to judge everybody else, not you. You read the word of God, you come, when you read this heavenly book, the first thing it does is sees your photo, it sees your picture, it sees your weaknesses. And when you read the word of God, you read in humility and repentance. That's the only way that you will grow. If you don't read it that way, you will have a lot of head knowledge and nothing goes to your heart. That's very dangerous. So when you read the word of God, you need to come in humility and in repentance through prayer. God, teach me your ways, not my ways. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, so we cannot pray without faith. So if you see the last part of verse 22, 1 John, it says here, because we keep his commandments, as getting into the word, do these things that are pleasing in his sight. So if you hear the word, you need to do what it says. That will be pleasing to God. You know, there are many today in the church, they have no desire to pray. They have no desire to pray. What is the reason? That's a good question. Why? Did you ask why, God? Why do I have no desire to pray? John Calvin, he said, one of the natural feelings which God has imprinted on our mind is that prayer is not genuine unless the thoughts are turned upward. Let me tell you what he's saying here. If your thoughts are earthly, you have no desire to pray. That's what he's saying. If your thoughts are in heaven, you have a desire to pray. Because your mind is upon heaven. Your mind is focusing in heaven. That's what your thoughts are. But if your thoughts are always on heavenly things, that's where you're thinking. You have no desire to pray. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. I mean, if your mind thinks on the earth, you have no desire. It also, Romans chapter 14 verse 7. If you turn with me to Romans 14 7. For none of us, Romans chapter 14, 7, for none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So if you are living, you got to live for the Lord. You cannot have things, mindly, earthly things, and say you're living for the Lord. You're not. You're living for yourself. That's what it says there. That's what the Bible says. So you need to have heavenly thoughts. If you have earthly thoughts, you have no desire for God. Absolutely no desire for God. Christ should be the center in your lifestyle, in your conversation. You know, it's so easy that you come here to the church and you talk about God. What about outside? What about other times? What is your conversation? Are you talking about God? Are you talking about scriptures? That means your desires are earthly, not heavenly. If you're not. You know, in these days, a lot of people get excited about the war in Afghanistan. About anthrax. You know, oh, what's going on? You know, they're so excited about what's happening, what's going on. But are you getting excited on the Word of God? Or is it just, you get bored? You know, get excited in the Word of God for what He has done on the cross for you as He came and He died and the wrath of God was going to come. The wrath of, you know, the wrath is falling upon Afghanistan. But how much more the wrath of God is going to fall upon you? Huh? We like to see the wrath falling on Afghanistan. We get excited. Think about the wrath that is going to fall upon you and how Christ came and delivered us. That's where the excitement should come. Right? So, David said in Psalm chapter 51 verse 17, sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So here we see, how can we have a broken spirit? How can we have a contrite spirit? How? Again, we need to understand, how can you have a broken spirit? How can you have a contrite heart? Let me tell you. We need to understand the sense of consciousness or the sense of weaknesses that we have before the Almighty God. We need to understand our sins before Almighty God. Are you getting bothered about your sins? That's the question. Are you really getting bothered about your sins? It's alright. It doesn't bother you anymore. You know why it doesn't bother you anymore? You don't see God as a holy, infinitely holy, majestic God. You don't see that. You know why you don't see? You don't read the Word of God. The Word of God shows who God is. And you will read the Word of God just like reading a, you know, like a fairy tale. No, that's not it. You got to read the Word of God as God is speaking to you. And read who God is. Once you see who God is, then you will know who you are. You will be brought to naught, to zero. Then you will be bothered about sin. Like the tax collector, he cannot even look up to God. Right? And he beat his chest. And that is seeing the majesty of God, His holiness. You need to be bothered about sin. We need to have... Can you sin and go to sleep without anything? No asking, no forgiveness or anything like that? Of course, we cannot. So there's a fear in His majesty, in His glory, in His holiness, because He's a judge. God is a judge. He's a judge of the universe. And we need to repent. And if there is any offense we have done, we need to come before Him and ask for repentance. Now, these are some of the practical things I told you. Now, you know, in our walk, Christian walk. So if we do these things, if we live like, you know, daily repentance and humility and studying the Word of God, okay, walking in Him and having fellowship with Him, then we have that confidence in approaching Him. Even when we do sin, we have that true repentance. We come to Him and humility and ask, because we got an advocate, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. For the Word of God. Oh Father, how we need to see You through the Word as we come to You, Lord, and see how awesome You are. Lord, when David, when he sinned against You, he was not bothered at all. But when the prophet came and manifested that sin of his in front of his face, and David realized that in the sight of God, how he has sinned so deeply. And Lord, it really bothered him. It really bothered him. And Lord, that his heart was broken. And after that, we see how David is crying out to You and confessing his sins before You. And we know, Lord, in the same way, when Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't bother them at all. They just ran away, hid from You. And they were passing the buck to everybody else and say, it's not me, it's a woman. The woman says, it's not me, it's a serpent. And how many times when we lie, instead of admitting that how evil we are, we like to show, it's not me, it's this person. Oh Father, what a generation we are living in this world, Lord. So much full of idolatry, full of worldliness, full of pleasure, but we don't have that desire for You. Father, we pray, Lord, that You would change our hearts, change our minds, Lord, that we would truly adore You, Lord, and that we would embrace this book, Lord, and that we would keep this book closest to our heart, and this is our treasure, nothing else. Oh Father, we pray, Lord, that You forgive us, Lord, our sins, that we would embrace Christ for what He has done, and now we can come in the name of Jesus Christ, boldly, having comfort in Him, and having confidence in Christ alone to the throne of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.